This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, we will welcome in two guests from different political viewpoints to talk about the top news stories of the week. We'll discuss the deadly police shooting of a biracial man in Madison and the demonstrations that followed. We will take a look at Governor Scott Walker's latest presidential poll numbers and approval ratings, and Hillary Clinton's personal email use, plus other top state and national political stories. You can join in with the issue you want to talk about, or you can introduce an issue from the news this week by calling 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. By the way, I just noticed that we are 5 likes away from 8,000 likes on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and I will do a happy dance if we pass that milestone this hour. If you haven't already liked the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, please do. You will get regular program updates. You'll find out who we're talking with and the topics we're talking about. There will be information and discussions on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So please go there and like it and join in on Facebook or call us during this edition of The Week in Review. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Dan Kopanky, a former Republican state senator from La Crosse and owner of the La Crosse Loggers baseball team. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and congrats on the 8,000 likes.
We're getting there, almost.
are you
already starting your spring training?
Well, you know, our players have, because they're collegiate players and in their respective colleges are now playing baseball in UCLA and Texas and Florida and all over. So, yes, they are. And when they complete their college program, baseball spring program, then they come to La Crosse and we throw 30 players together and we play ball in a day or two. So,
wonderful.
Yes, they are.
Happy spring. Louis Fortas is also with us. He is editor-in-chief of the Shepherd Express. He is a former Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. Good morning, Louis.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Louis.
Well, we'll start with a very serious issue. A Madison police officer shot and killed a 19-year-old biracial man last Friday night in Madison. The man, 19-year-old Tony Robinson, was apparently running in and out of traffic. He reportedly had assaulted someone. He ran into an apartment. The officer, Matt Kenny, followed. There was a scuffle, and Kenny fired his weapon. Robinson died at the hospital. Large demonstrations have followed in the days since, as the Department of Justice is investigating this incident. Louis Fortas, let's start with you. Your reaction to what happened and the aftermath.
Okay, first of all, obviously it was a very, very tragic event. When anytime someone loses their life over an incident, a police and a citizen incident, it's tragic for society, and it's also tragic for the family and for the individual. So establishing that, you have to take a look back at Madison. When Paul Soglin was first elected about 40 years ago, Madison's police force was had a sheriff problems, one might say. And one of the many things that Soglin had done as in his first term and continues to do as mayor is, you know, try to clean these things up. And Madison went from having a police force with a very dubious reputation to having, you know, one of the best police forces in the country. And I think you see that when just the way Madison handled the tragedy as opposed to Ferguson. So Ferguson had an entirely corrupt system. There was rampant racism, and that's come out in all the emails and all. But Madison is a good police force that had an unfortunate incident, and they're doing the absolute best they can in a very tough situation. And I've been really impressed both with the Dontre Hamilton family in Madison and Robinson family in assume in Milwaukee and Robinson family in Madison. The grace that these families show in times like this is just incredible. So I think the demonstrations are not much fun if you're in office, but it's part of the game and you understand that. But I think Madison is handling it well. The citizens in the demonstrations are handling it well. I think for a very tragic situation, it's being dealt with about as well as it can be done.
Yeah. Dan, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, Lewis is... stated very, very well, and I agree with just about everything he said there. It's very unfortunate, and it's just really sad. And any time, you know, we lose a life in this manner, it's certainly cause for concern. But, you know, and again, I think the Madison area has handled this very well. There's been, of course, demonstrations and everything, but they've been peaceful, and I'm fine with that. Everybody needs to stay calm, and it seems like we are, and let's get the facts before we, you know, pass judgment, and let's, you know, let law enforcement and our courts do their work. But I do commend, again, the police force in Madison and the people in Madison, because certainly we have a right to gather and voice disapproval, but it's been done for the most part peacefully, so that's highly commendable.
Yeah, they have been peaceful, but some signs and some demonstrators in Madison have been calling for police officer Kenny to be indicted in the shooting, wanting him to, you know, face justice. Do you think, Dan, that's premature?
Very much so. You know, again, let's get all the facts before we want to pass judgment on somebody, a police officer. And again, it was reported that this young man assaulted the police officer. You know, all of these recent shootings could have been avoided if people would comply with the commands of the law enforcement officers. If that would have happened in Missouri, if that would happen in Madison, chances are, you know, these two young men would still be alive. And so, you know, again, we must respect the police. They're not perfect people, but we ask them to do some unbelievable things, and we certainly must back them. And if there are some bad players in the forces, they should be, you know, they should be weeded out. There's no question about that. But I think we need to, at this time, certainly stand behind our law enforcement officers because of the incredible work that they have to do.
So, Lewis, what do you think about the demonstrations? There's some anger there. They're peaceful, but there's some anger there, believing that perhaps, once again, a white police officer will be not charged in the death of an unarmed African-American or biracial man. What do you say to that?
I think one of the biggest problems we have right now is, you know, all of this is coming after the Ferguson situation. And the Ferguson situation was more than just, you know, some bad cops. I mean, the whole system was corrupt. And so when you, and it's continuing in the news this morning, it's you know, folks had it on the news again today, and it's an issue that, you know, needed to be dealt with and dealt with properly. And as a result of that, so any incident that followed, you know, everyone is, you know, their mindset is set on Ferguson. Madison and Ferguson are very, very, very different situations. And so I think people are coming to the demonstrations in Madison with some of the anger from Ferguson and some of the anger people in Milwaukee wanted to see the shooter of Dontre Hamilton indicted, and that didn't happen, and there was a lot of anger there. Again, I think the families were just showed such tremendous grace under this stress. But I think this, I think the Madison situation, I think Dan's absolutely right. Let's get the facts, let's see what happened, and then deal with it. And if the officer was wrong, and the officer did something illegal, and the officer went way beyond, then, you know, perhaps he should be indicted. But no one's has any evidence that that occurred. So let's proceed like America does, where you're innocent until proven guilty, and let's find the facts and let's do it right. And then I'm confident in Madison; they will do it right.
Yeah, there was a demonstration or a rally in support of Madison police officers or law enforcement in general on Wednesday at the state capitol. How concerned are you, Lewis, first, about the perception and treatment of police following not only the shooting in Madison, but similar incidents across the country? And, hey, two police officers were shot during a protest in Ferguson this past week.
When I was in the legislature, I would do ride-alongs with the police in Milwaukee, and I would go in the roughest neighborhoods, the roughest district, on a hot Saturday night, and did the ride-along. And you certainly learn a lot. It's a tough job, and there are the vast majority of the police are really trying to do a good job, and you know they're public servants, and they're doing a good job. And there are some bad apples. There are bad apples in every, you know, profession, every job, every business. The difference is these bad apples have a gun. And so if you're a jerk in a newspaper, for example, you know, the other people will kind of shun you, and hopefully your boss will try to correct your behaviors. And but if you're in a police force and you're, you know, alone in a squad car with another partner and you have a gun and something happens and you act quickly because of whatever, you know, problems you're having, you know, the ramifications are huge. So, I mean, that's the difference, I think, is that, you know, it's not that there's perhaps a disproportionate of, you know, bad cops or anything like that. I think it's that when someone has a gun, and has responsibility that the police have, and they're not functioning properly, the consequences are very public and very serious. And I think that's what's going on.
Are you concerned, Dan, about anti-police sentiment that might still be brewing?
I definitely am. And I just want to make a note here that in Ferguson, Officer Wilson has been exonerated on multiple levels. I think it's fair to make that statement, and we should make that statement. If there are some other bad players down there, it's not Officer Wilson in this specific case. I heard a report last night that shooting of law enforcement officers is up like 50% in 2014 over previous years. I am very concerned, and I think that some of the statements made by some leaders following Ferguson has not been helpful. Very unfortunate. We had two officers go down last night. Fortunately, I don't think they're life-threatening injuries, but they were shot. We have the New York situation. I heard the number 89 officers were killed in the line of duty, I think in 14. Very concerned. Very concerned. Again, we ask them to do incredible things so that we can be safe and feel safe. And any of us, if we just put ourselves in their shoes and it's 3 a.m. and it's a lonely country road and we pull a car over and walk up to that car, I cannot imagine what goes through the mind of those officers when they do that. Again, we need to back them and support them.
We are talking with Dan Kopanky, a former Republican state senator from La Crosse, owner of the La Crosse Loggers baseball team, and Lewis Fortas, the editor-in-chief of the Shepherd Express, former Democratic state representative from Madison. When we come back during this edition of the Week in Review, we'll talk about some issues that are related to these police officer-involved shootings, and we'll talk about other top national and state political stories as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking today with Dan Kopanky and Lewis Fortas. Coming up on the Week in Review, we'll talk about Governor Walker signing right to work into law and President Obama's criticism of Wisconsin's right to work law. We'll also talk about new poll results in the 2016 presidential race. Looks like we have Governor Walker trailing Hillary Clinton in this poll, and Ron Johnson trailing Russ Feingold in the U.S. Senate race. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But talking about the police officer-involved shooting in Madison and the demonstrations that followed right now. And Jacob in Burlington wants to talk about that. Hi, Jacob.
Hi. Yeah, I think neither guest is addressing the elephant in the living room, which is the historic economic racism, structural racism that especially blacks have felt historically and are feeling today. The deck is stacked against them, and that is the source of black anger, is that they have been, many of them have been oppressed historically in this country. And yes, we talk about this as an individual incident, but it has to be contextualized in what blacks in this country face that whites don't.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jacob. I'm glad you brought it up. We would bring it up. But Louis Fortas, what about that?
I mean, he's right. There's absolutely no question about that. And I think probably it wasn't brought up because I think, well, maybe I'm making an assumption here, that most people, you know, agree with the caller that you know, it's obviously a problem. But I think there are probably some people in the state that still don't believe it is a problem. The police will even tell you that, that, you know, they, you know, that there is, you know, you can, there's certainly some racism without question. But there's also just there's very subtle feelings that people get just from having, you know, the police having incidents where, you know, they will also say that, you know, they may not be racist, but there is certain fears in certain neighborhoods that it's just greater because there's more, you know, problems in those neighborhoods. So it's definitely a problem, and the caller is absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Dan Kopanky?
Well, you know, you also have to recognize that we've made great advancements over the years. There's no question about that. And still we have some people that, you know, have problems. We need to address that. But, again, getting back to these instances, if we would comply with the officer's commands, then we wouldn't have young people being shot and killed. It's that simple, and we all have to do that. How many of us, when the lights go on behind us, if we're speeding or whatever the case may be, we keep going, and it's just going to be a bad ending, no matter how you look at it. So we have to, again, we have these people out here for a reason. They're doing their jobs. Let's help them with that.
Yeah. Do you think, Dan, that there should be, I don't know, more work into the racial disparities in the criminal justice system that we hear about?
That's a great question. You know, I think Lewis said, you know, these officers, they go where the crimes are committed. And no matter what the color, no matter what the background, I mean, if there's a crime being committed, they have to do their job. And that's really the bottom line.
Governor Walker met with the leader of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County this week to discuss Robinson's death. He was urged by Michael Johnson to call the family and offer condolences, which we hear Governor Walker did do. He also urged Walker to back several programs that would help young people, especially young people of color in Madison, but did not ask for any specific commitments from the governor. What about that, Dan? Is there anything that Governor Walker or state government can do to help prevent more instances like this?
Well, you'd like to think there is always something more that all of us can do to prevent this. And you know, the governor did obviously the right thing. I think what I already spent about 30 minutes with these people, and this, again, the right thing to do. We need to listen. People have issues out here. As leaders, we need to listen.
Mm-hmm. Louis Fortas, is there something that the governor or state government can or should do to prevent more instances like this?
Absolutely. And I think we're going in the absolute wrong direction because we're cutting. And we're squeezing poor people more and more by all these budget cuts and all the things going on at the state level. And all that does is create, you know, poverty is one of the biggest causes of all this, the crime problems. And the more you squeeze people, the more the crime is going to go up. But I also want to mention one thing. Dan and I have been agreeing too much in your audience. I have a little disagreement here. So Dan has mentioned several times, and this is, you know, obviously very good advice, and you know, that, you know, if you listen to what the officers say, you know, when you're in an intense situation, you're much better off. But we also have seen that one case, I forgot what community it is, where the officers pulled up. There was a 13, 14-year-old kid, and they got out of the car, and within seconds he was shot. I mean, there was no chance to talk to him. There was no, you know, people had timed that out, and I think everybody's familiar with, they've seen this on TV. So there was a situation where, you know, there was no talking, there was no listening off. I mean, the car pulled up, and the kid was shot, and he was a kid. And so it is more than just, you know, listen to the police and everything will be, you know, fine, you won't get killed. You know, there are situations where you do get killed. And so, but again, you know, those are rare, but they're serious. And the bigger thing, and this is what I'm so impressed with, as in the aftermath of the Ferguson, is how the Justice Department has basically, you know, went in there, did an investigation, found all these serious problems, and the community is working very, very hard to try to change the whole system there. You know, city officials, police chief, whatever, city manager are resigning. And I don't know if some people will eventually be indicted, but they're cleaning up a mess, and I think that's a real good message for other communities, because Ferguson, Missouri, is not alone in these problems.
Dan, you wanna respond to that?
I would. Would Lewis be upset if I agreed with him?
Not again, Dan. Mm-hmm.
No, if a community has issues, it's up to the community to clean it up. And if they can't get the job done, then we have to go to another level. But again, I agree with the statements that Lewis made here.
And just Attorney General Brad Schimel says that the investigation into the shooting of Robinson should be wrapped up in a couple of weeks. It will be sent to the Dane County District Attorney, and then a decision would be made then as to whether there's any charges. He's urging the public to be patient before judging what happened. The Department of Justice has already done at least 60 interviews and filed more than 100 reports. And again, this is being done by the Department of Justice under a new state law that requires an outside investigation of an outsider independent investigation of a police officer involved shooting in Wisconsin. So let's just maybe wrap this up. Where do we go from here, Lewis Fortas, not just for the city of Madison, I suppose, but for the entire state of Wisconsin?
I think just you have to look at the difference between Ferguson and Madison and how they are both being handled. And the differences and why Madison's will turn out to have what we would consider, I believe, will end up being a just settlement of a very, very tragic situation. I think the Ferguson incident is going to change that whole culture, and I think communities have to look at which side are they on. Are they more like a Madison or more like a Ferguson, and deal with it accordingly.
Your final thoughts on this issue, Dan?
Well, I'm just going to say it again. I know we need to support our law enforcement officers, and we need to comply with their wishes when they command us to do something. And a lot of these issues would go away.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Week in Review. We have with us today Lewis Fortas and Dan Kopanky, and we welcome your input on the issues making news this week in Wisconsin and the nation and the world. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Governor Walker signed the Right to Work bill into law on Monday, making Wisconsin the 25th state with such a law. President Obama, in a statement, said right to work will weaken rather than strengthen workers. Walker responded by saying it gives private sector workers more freedom. How do you see it, Dan Kopanky?
Well, First off, it was inevitable that this was going to come forward, given the numbers in both houses in Madison and the Republican governor. We're the 25th state. 24 other states have survived this. So, I, you know, those that are negative on this, I don't think it's all negative.
And I think Representative Lee Nearson had a very good comment following his vote, and that is that this will give an opportunity for unions to prove their worth, if you will, with the employees. And it might make that even stronger if the unions go that route. I mean, there are some businesses that, you know, they stayed neutral or actually were against it. The Huffman is an example. But that doesn't mean that everything's going to heck here. The unions can still be a force if, again, they have to show now that they're worthy of the union dues that are being paid. And if they do that, not a lot is going to change. If they don't do that, well, then they're probably going to lose members, and that's a consequence of right to work. But, again, I think that instead of automatic, now they have to court them, and it could be better for the employee.
Louis Fortas.
Well, I think the employees do get more freedom. They get the freedom to get lower wages. They get freedom to work in poorer working conditions. I don't think that's the kind of freedom people want. You need to look at this in a broader context. There's essentially, and this is going to be kind of a crude dichotomy here, there's two philosophies on economic development at the state level. There's the one philosophy that is do whatever we can to attract businesses, and that means, have right-to-work laws. That means have weaker environmental regulations, have weaker health and safety regulations, have lower taxes. And the other philosophy is invest in society and have fair taxation system that provides for a good educational system, that provides good training programs, that has standards that have environmental standards, health and safety standards, and good entrepreneurs will want to raise their families in environments like that, and those states will flourish. If you look at what's going on, those are the states that are flourishing, the ones where there is a lot more social investment. Those are the states that are doing much better. The right to work is just an example of the first philosophy of, just try to do whatever you can to lure these companies. And there will be a few, and very few, companies that will come to Wisconsin because it's now right to work. These are usually the same companies that will, demand all kind of tax concessions from the communities before they move in. And are often, the companies that will end up having the most health and safety and environmental violations. These are not the outstanding, companies that we're looking for. And as soon as another state looks more attractive and their tax, concessions have expired, they're going to pack up and move again. That's not the way you do economic development. So I think this is a move in the wrong direction, unfortunately.
Yeah, we did have some Minnesota folks saying, hey, Wisconsin businesses, come on over if you don't like this right-to-work law. One Wisconsin business owner upset over the enactment of right-to-work and other policies says he is going to expand in Minnesota because the economic policies there are more conducive to his operation. He is the president of Hoffman Construction in Black River Falls. And he's going to accelerate plans to expand an office in Lakeville, Minnesota. Dan Kopanky, we don't want that, do we?
Well, listen, he's doing the right thing because if you've looked at the Minnesota budget, they're spending a big, big, big pile of money on road construction, and that's their business. And so it's just a shrewd, smart business decision of his to look into Minnesota. He said it's based on business, not politics. I believe him. And he's going over there because he wants to provide more jobs for more people, and that's the right thing to do. And also, I've been around the block here, and I've talked to way, way, way too many businesses that value their employees, want to take care of them, don't want to lose them, and treat them well. And we have that happening all over Wisconsin. So I don't think you're going to see businesses necessarily leave the state. I think you're going to see more businesses looking to the state.
We go to a caller, Ned in Lake Dubay. Hi, Ned.
Hi. First of all,
we can't hear you, Ned. What are you doing?
Okay, sorry. I'll try again. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, please make your comment.
Yeah. Union membership helps raise the salaries and wages of all workers, not just those in the union. And so when you allow a particular company to, you know, have this right to work for less legislation, what that really does is lower the pay for everybody statewide, because the labor pool is a competitive pool, and if you don't have those higher wages from a closed shop, then you simply lower the wages of everyone. The unions will be weakened because a certain percentage of workers who want the benefits of being in a union, and the union must represent all workers, those workers will get their cake and eat it too. And it's hard to know. No one has any statistics on exactly how many workers will be in that category, but some of them clearly will, and that will hurt unions, and that will help the Republican Party, because they know that unions are not in their side, and they would like to fight against the unions as much as they can at each election.
Yeah. Well... So let's, Dan just spoke, but let's, you know, is that what's going on here? You know, you're weakening unions. Republicans want to weaken unions, and this is going to lower people's wages, and that's what businesses really want. They don't care about worker freedom, do they?
Oh, I think they do. And again, I was paraphrasing Representative Nearson earlier, but again, the unions are going to have to prove their worth, and if they do, the employees will see the benefit and join. And that's just the bottom line.
Lewis.
I think the caller was right on target, and I agree with everything he said.
All right, well, we need to take a short break, and we have many other issues that we have to review in this edition of The Week in Review. Got some poll numbers that we'll take a look at for the 2016 presidential race and the U.S. Senate race in 2016. And much more. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Dan Kopanky, former Republican state senator from La Crosse, and Louis Fortas, who is a former Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. This is The Week in Review on the Ideas Network. This is The Week in Review. We are talking with Dan Kopanky from La Crosse and Louis Fortas from Milwaukee, and we welcome your input on the issues making news this week. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So a new poll is out from the Public Policy Polling Group. It shows Governor Walker trailing Hillary Clinton by 9 points in Wisconsin. Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren by 3. It also showed Governor Walker's job approval in Wisconsin has dropped to 43%. Well, let's talk about these poll results. To what do you attribute this drop, Dan Kopanky?
Well, the governor hit a high here a while back, and he's come out with a budget that a lot of people have some issues with. It's a conservative budget. I think that's part of it. And the other part of it is, you know, he looks to be a presidential candidate, of course, and some people are going to look at him a little bit differently. But he is a governor who has won 3 elections in 4 years, including a recall. So he's very popular here in Wisconsin, and people approve of what he's doing. Now, again, I think the budget, coming out with a budget that is upsetting some people, the right to work thing upset some people. I think they all have play a factor. But in the end, I think that he'll continue to be a candidate. And because he is a candidate, he's going to be getting some shots taken.
Yeah, the same poll in October had him at 49%. Mm-hmm. It was dropped to 43%.
Yep.
But what about his popularity, Louis Fortas, if he is trailing Hillary Clinton and the other potential Democratic presidential candidates right here in Wisconsin?
To me, that's absolutely no surprise. And despite the fact he's won 3 elections, 2 of them were during the normal gubernatorial cycle, and one was a special election, the recall election. They were not representative of the entire state. You have a much higher turnout in a presidential race. And And this is the reason that I believe that Walker would lose in a presidential race against most any Democrat. And because in Wisconsin, the increase in the voter turnout in a presidential election is really significant. And I was thinking back when I was in state assembly, in a presidential year, I would have between 23 and 24,000 voters come out. In a gubernatorial year, it was between 15 and 16,000. I mean, really a significant drop. And so I think that when you're doing this polling, and the polls have become quite accurate, you're doing a representation of the entire state, and as a result, it's more like a presidential contest, a presidential year. And I think the Republicans lose in those years. And this is why I don't think the majority of Wisconsin is behind, for example, like the right to work bills and a lot of other things that are going on in Wisconsin right now. But yes, the governor has won three races. No one can deny that.
If I could, Joy, you know, it's been over 30 years since Wisconsin has voted for a Republican president. That was Reagan, I believe, in 84. So it's not surprising that he would be running behind. There's a long ways to go. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stories come out yet on both Governor Walker and Hillary Clinton and the other candidates. So it's very, very early in the process. But I think that nationwide, this country is looking for leadership, and Walker has displayed leadership here in Wisconsin. You can agree with him or disagree, but he is a leader, and that's what this country is looking for. In fact, the nation and the world is looking for that. So that's why I think he is where he is right now, and we'll just see. I mean, we got a long ways to go before we get to November of 16.
Well,
I'd like to add
briefly,
one thing,
yes.
Also, and that is, I mean, he's running for president. He's pitching to a very, very conservative Republican base that comes out in these primaries. And so he is really moving to the right. And I think people in Wisconsin who voted for him are saying, oh, my God, you know, I didn't realize this is who I really voted for. There's some of that going on. And so I think after this Kansas 2016 campaign, which I believe he will not prevail, he will come back to Wisconsin. And I think he'll be a real battered governor after that.
Well, we have Governor Walker criticizing Hillary Clinton for her, in his word, audacity in using personal emails to conduct official State Department business, saying that Clinton put classified information at risk as a result. Louis Fortas, is this Hillary Clinton use of a personal email account a huge deal?
All I can say is I cannot believe the audacity of Governor Walker, since his staff had put together a secret server in the county exec's office so they could do political work on county time. And he is complaining about Hillary's perfectly legal server in her home that she used. It was a mistake that Hillary did it. Not because it was illegal, not because anything happened, but it was a mistake because she's going to have to deal with being attacked for this for the next, you know, month and a half or whatever. I mean, you just look at that the Benghazi hearings that are still going on in Benghazi, Libya, where tragically four people were killed, including the U.S. ambassador. They're still holding hearings. There has been no evidence of any problems that, you know, that or anything that Hillary did wrong as Secretary of State in that Benghazi incident, but they're still pushing it. This they will continue to push for the next month and a half or more. And if you keep repeating it over and over and over, the media picks it up, and it becomes somewhat of an issue.
Yeah. So, Dan, what do you make of especially Hillary Clinton using a personal email address while working as Secretary of State? Is this a huge deal?
I think it's a problem, of course. And I think that I believe, if I'm not wrong, that all of the emails on that private server in the county have been turned over. People have had a look at them. She didn't follow her own directive in 2011 that no private emails. She did it herself, but she told everybody else that they shouldn't. She didn't follow State Department procedures. Did she sign off on this form, OF-109? And if she did, then she's in really deep trouble. And if she didn't, the question is why. Speaking of Benghazi, very, very tragic occurrence over there. There seems to be a big gap in emails around that period. The public, the United States citizens, has a right to see these emails. These are public. They're not hers. She does not have she's not the one that makes the judgment on as to which emails come are public and which aren't. Somebody else has to do that. An independent has to do that. And it would be for her own good if she allowed that.
We have Nate in Milwaukee who has been waiting. Hi, Nate.
Hi, thank you for having me. I was going to mention with the changes to the John Doe law, I appreciate that they do want to have it so that they can still investigate like drug rings, but I think making it so you can't investigate political figures or powerful individuals is an example that will raise for even worse the idea that somebody in a position of power is above the law, and if they or their friends get caught doing something illegal, they'll just make it legal as a response.
Louis Fortas?
Well, I would hope that Scott Walker would come out very, very opposed to any changes in the John Doe, just for his own well-being, in that can you imagine if he signs a bill that basically weakens the John Doe process and also does it retroactively or sets it up in such a way that since his is still in process or in progress, that he would be excluded from the John Doe. I mean, can you imagine what his Republican opponents would do on a campaign trail to him? How he basically used state law to get around, getting indicted or whatever they would be saying to him. So I think for his own good, he would be very wise to oppose this very strongly.
Mm-hmm. Dan Kopanky?
I think we'll just have to see how this legislation progresses, again, before we make some judgments on this. But I think it's fairly safe to say that under John Doe, it does open the door for some abuses, and so that should be looked at, and maybe some changes should be made.
You know, I wanted to get you both to weigh in on another national story that involves a Wisconsin politician. Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson, was one of 47 senators signing off on this letter to Iran, essentially saying that any deal that President Obama works out on the nuclear program may not last beyond his administration. A lot of people upset about this. Dan Kopanky, should they be?
Well, they weren't negotiating. They just laid the facts out to Iran that, in fact, the president can cut this deal, but without Congress's involvement, it'll probably be over in 2 years. So I think they were actually doing Iran a favor. Now, they could have done it in a different manner. They could have, put an editorial in New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or whatever. But I think what, again, is on display here is a lack of leadership coming from the White House. He doesn't get along with Congress. I'm not sure he got along with them even when there were some Democratic leaders and they had one of the houses, how much he really consulted them and worked with them. So, again, I mentioned earlier, lack of leadership. If he'd be working with Congress as the president should, previous presidents have, this letter would not been necessary.
Louis Fortas.
Okay, this is where I totally disagree with Dan. There are seven veteran Republican senators that were appalled by this letter. And then there's another one, McCain, who signed it and now is like having second thoughts. I mean, here you have a freshman senator who is basically a very highly partisan young senator. And he put together this letter to get him some press, which did an amazing job. He's all over the media. But you would think that the adults in that party, the Mitch McConnells and others, would have said, whoa, 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 wait a second, this is not how we do things. In the old days, they used to say politics ended at the U.S. border. Now, I mean, you're sending, you have elected senators sending letters to hardline extremists in a country that we refer to as a terrorist state. And instead of the adults in the party, you know, slowing things down, they basically signed on. And this is serious, because this what this says is that, you know, how can you negotiate with the United States when they're going to, you know, when, you know, the other side is saying we're going to undo it immediately. And this is not a treaty. This is not something that, you know, technically is supposed to go before the Senate for approval. Yeah. So in the past,
Louis, I'm sorry. I got to jump in because we're almost at the end of the hour, and I have to get in the week in review quiz. So, do you want to just conclude your thought?
No, I just think that it's a serious mistake, and it's harmful to the United States.
This week, Governor Scott Walker got his first celebrity endorsement for his unofficial, as of yet, presidential campaign. What celebrity is endorsing Governor Scott Walker? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. If you know, we'll put you on the air. And if you're right, you will win a somewhat fabulous prize. So this week, Governor Scott Walker got his first celebrity endorsement. Who was the celebrity endorser? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. We need you to call in quickly if you want to take part. Okay, we have Pat in Madison. Hi, Pat. Do you know which celebrity endorsed Scott Walker for president this week?
I'm sorry, I was grabbing my walk around and muting my phone. So what were you saying?
Why did you call in, Pat? Did you call in to see who, what...
I thought it was Ted Nugent.
Nope. You are... we don't have you there. Let's go to Chris in Oakland. Chris, which celebrity endorsed Scott Walker for president this week?
Scott Baio.
There we go. We have a winner. Yeah, Chachi loves Walker. Scott Baio played Chachi in Happy Days, and it's a spinoff, Joni Loves Chachi. He was also the main character in Charles in Charge. He praised Walker in a tweet saying, "Governor Walker sounds a lot like President Reagan." Hashtagged it, Walker for President, and he posted a picture of himself with Walker. Then Walker tweeted back, "Thanks, we both love Reagan. I'm flattered," along with the hashtag Chachi and Walker love Reagan. Baio is a registered Republican who also endorsed Mitt Romney in 2012. We have less than a minute to go. So, Dan or Louis, you think that celebrity endorsements are important in today's politics?
Doesn't seem to hurt.
How about you, Louis?
You know, at the presidential level, not so much. I think at local levels, it would be a huge help.
Thanks to both of you for being with us. Louis Fortas, editor-in-chief of the Shepherd Express. Dan Kopanky, owner of the La Crosse Loggers baseball team. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Caleb Lato for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. Talk to you on Monday. This is the Ideas Network.